Two. Broadcasting live from somewhere in the fucking internet. This is the show about stuff that interests me. My name is Morps, and this is Pure Decking number 195 for Thursday, November the 5th, 2015. And I am drinking Newcastle. What?
The 6th.
Well, for you.
Damn time traveler.
I am currently drinking Newcastle. Fox, what are you drinking?
Johnny Walker Red.
Nice, nice. I got some Eagle Rare I'm going to be chasing this up with, and that's actually the last of my Eagle Rare, so I'll have to go to the grocery store and see if I can't find something better. Madman's not here. What am I looking at? I need glasses. Nick, what are you drinking?
151.
I couldn't hear him. Could you guys hear him?
151.
Oh. 151, okay. Yeah, well, his name is appropriate tonight.
Yep.
Sard, what are you drinking?
Duck Top.
Nice. Are you? What do you got?
I'm polishing off the last of the toilet duck.
Nice. Nice. Did I say this was show 195? Almost skipped tonight because we had a fun scheme of trying to make it line up so that show 200 would be on around New Year's, but that might be hard. Involved math.
Change the way we're numbering the shows.
We're just going to start doing the points until we get the number we want.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, that's how the government balances the budget. They just chuck numbers around until it looks like it's right.
Yeah, that's...
He's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen how government supported entities do their book. It's comical sometimes.
You know, like you get the show 200 a little too early. You just sort of like, and this show number is, and on we go. Looking forward to 200.
So go ahead and throw out the first link here for tonight. But I know I've spoken about it previously. I have formatted my box. I am now running Linux full time. Windows is, actually I haven't installed it yet, but it's going to be safely wrapped up in a virtual machine where it belongs. And since my Windows licenses won't give me the Windows 10 upgrade, they'll be stuck at Windows 8, which is,
I'm sorry,
Windows 7 for that matter. Yeah, I'm just so sad about that. Considering what I'm going to be doing with it, I actually don't care. I'm going to be putting TeamViewer on the virtual. Okay, so to explain, yeah, unfortunately, as much as I would love to, you can't completely abandon Windows yet to play games. Elite Dangerous, no Linux support, from what I understand, doesn't run all that well in Wine. Wine doesn't support DirectX 11 or 12. I think they've got a DirectX 11 patch that's getting ready to come out soon. Not out yet, at least not in the standard builds. And yeah, you just can't get away with it. However, I've discovered all the hardware I happen to have is perfect for IOMMU VGA pass-through to a KVM virtual machine. And for anyone who thought I was just spouting alphabet soup, well, you're not wrong. basically, I can spin up a virtual machine inside of Linux and then take a second graphics card and assign that graphics card to the virtual machine as though... So instead of most virtual machines, they emulate a graphics card, and some of them can even do, you know, some 3D rendering. This is sort of like when you take a VMware and tell it use this USB device, and it passes it straight through. I'm going to do that with a graphics card and a PCI bus.
That's sweet.
And now to do that, normally you have to hook another monitor up so that you can actually see what's going on in the virtual machine, since it's not going to emulate the graphics card, so you're not going to get the menu, the window on your desktop showing the second computer, right? But so I'll actually have to turn my monitors over to it for a little while I set them. But pretty much I'm going to install TeamViewer and then use Steam in-home streaming so that I can use the virtual machine to launch my Steam games, and because I'm going to use the streaming on, you know, it'll never actually leave the NIC, so the speed's going to be as good as it could ever be. Yeah, it'll look like native Linux gaming, even though it's really not. So
fancy.
That's cool, man. Yeah,
that's the plan. Of course, I'm going to live on Linux as much as I possibly can, because at least I know that one's not spying on me, at least not as much as Windows 10. And, you know, the Windows 10 spying, if you tune it, it's not that bad. I've gotten picked at a little bit about that, especially because I keep banging on about it. And I have an
Unless
article.
Unless it updates,
I think it's like,
and resets everything.
Well, Facebook does that, so why wouldn't Microsoft? And it's like the third story in on my link list is beating on Windows 10 yet again. That said, I actually run it on my work
horse.
Laptop. Yeah. I actually run it on my Windows laptop, on one of my laptops, just so I can, you know, keep up with it. But
if it wasn't for all the spying BS and everything,
it'd be great.
It's great. I run a VM at work for Windows tools and stuff.
It runs nice. It's much lighter
totally
weight than the other OSs or some of the earlier versions of Windows. It runs fine. I just don't appreciate the privacy invasion. So
yeah.
Of course, I use an iPhone, so I guess I don't really have as much room to talk as I think. That's for work, though. I can't really help that. I like money. So, you know. Especially. Almost didn't do the show tonight because I ended up late last night for work. I'll be out late tomorrow night and Saturday for work. So,
now, is it work or is it post-work motivational meetings?
Yeah, drinking doesn't count.
Okay, technically, yes, yesterday was motivational meetings. But I, for what I'm trying to accomplish right now, I sort of have to hobnob with the bosses, so I was doing that.
trying to get a raise, huh? Giggity.
Yeah, well, either kind. Wait a minute. So, no, not quite like that. I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you off air. But, yeah. Anyways, so first article I have up tonight, and this is just something I think would be fun to talk about. It's from MoneyBeat. Basically, when they wrote the article, do they have a date on this post? 2 days ago.
November 3rd.
Bitcoin had gotten back past $400.
I thought it got past $500. It shot up there for a while.
It may have.
I kept asking around. No one really knew why, though. I had seen an article, yeah.
I have a theory. I have a theory on exactly why. And this is what I wanted to talk about, get Earl's opinion on. So, CryptoWall and other crypto malware have vastly improved since we were making fun of them for leaving the encryption keys on, you know, just using the Microsoft libraries to encrypt Sheen. And now you've also got them going after websites and... pretty much the only way to get these keys back is to actually ransoms and hope that they give you the key. I normally tell people don't pay the ransom. I've heard advice going both ways on it. If you get one of these crypto lockers or crypto malwares where they encrypt your hard drive, I usually say don't pay the ransom because you're more likely to just get scammed out of your money and never see the key. But a lot of people are supported that, yeah, if you pay the ransom, they'll send you the key so you can get your files back. And it would make sense that they would actually own up to giving up the key if you pay them so that people can continue to do it.
Since right, promote
lots
paying.
Of different groups operating these.
It's why it's so important to have backups.
Yes, and all, and backups that aren't actually connected. Like, get a USB drive. They're not that expensive. You can get, like, a 3-terabyte one for $120 or something like that. Probably cheaper if you shop around. And you know, hook it up to your machine, the shit you care about, unhook it, and put it in a cabinet or something. Not only if you get, you know, a virus, crypto malware, whatever, does this protect your shit, it also gives you a place to store stuff if you got to move it between machines, like when you build a new one or buy a new computer. It also has a nice side effect. If it's not hooked up and the house gets hit by a bad power surge, it won't get hit.
Yep.
So, I mean, granted, I've got a NAS I run nowadays, but that's online all the time, so I still use a USB hard drive for the stuff I don't want to lose.
Right, and I'm a big, I don't know if you've heard it, the 3-2-1 rule. It's at least three different copies in two different formats, and then one of those copies needs to be off-site.
Yes, that's a that's a good philosophy. Honestly, my off-site backups. This is going to sound terrible. That same USB hard drive, I keep it in a locked drawer at work.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, it's off-site.
It saves you from a house fire.
Yeah, that's true.
And I've got another USB hard drive with work stuff that I keep here.
But now the super paranoid people that really don't want to, you know, lose their data or whatever will say, okay, so you have it backed up on a hard drive. Do you have it on any other type of media? That's where the second rule number two of the 3-2-1 rule, backup rule, comes in. Do you
no,
got it on
and,
disk?
And,
do you have it anywhere?
And the reason I say that, I keep it on disk. I don't like burn it off to DVD or anything like that. Primarily because SATA hard disks have been a valid format longer than things like Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Yeah. It's
because you see most modern machines come with an optical drive anymore.
Yep, that's
they
true.
They don't come with CD drive.
However, if you want to get super duper tinfoil paranoid hat on, when the EMP hits, all your hard drives are going to be erased. You need some.
Well, I mean, you obviously keep that hard drive down in your bunker underground, 25 feet.
Yeah, in a Faraday cage.
Yes.
Okay. To be fair, if you want to be super paranoid, and yes, I have a tin of heirloom seed. That's because they came as part of something else. I didn't actually specifically buy those. I'm going to take. I figured out what I'm going to do with my old iPad 1. Is I'm going to take the encryption off of it. I'm going to wrap it up in a rubber container so that, and then I'm going to keep it in a filing cabinet because an isolated rubber container inside a filing cabinet effect is a Faraday cage. It'll deflect enough, the iPad will survive, an old iPad 1. I'm going to load up PDFs of those survival gear so that, in the event of catastrophic civilization failure, I'll have my crash bag. It will never get used. I know this. But, hey, why not, right?
I mean, hell, Sean Kennedy kept an old, 45-pound laptop in his bug-out bag because, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, well, we're not even going to touch on that. But this is more just I don't know what else to do with the damn thing at this point, right? So it's like, that's a use. We'll store it with all the PDFs on it of in case the world ends next to the thing of heirloom seeds that came in a kit just in case I need to restart society.
And hopefully a solar charger.
Use battery. But, solar charger would be good to throw in there. You're right. That and a ham radio. Now that I've got, I get my tinfoil hat on and start listening to Alex Jones. But meanwhile,
looks like someone just painted a giant target on his back.
The last neckbar.
Yeah. What were we talking about again? Bitcoin, right? So we got off on backward stuff. The reason I bring all that up, I think the reason Bitcoin price has surged is it's been in the news again for all the crypto malware. All the crypto malware now comes with instructions on how to buy Bitcoin on the exchanges so that you can pay the ransom in Bitcoin. And because muling Bitcoin around is essentially free compared to doing it through, it's a compromised PayPal and credit card accounts. I think it's these crypto scalpers are driving the cost of Bitcoin back up. So if you had Bitcoins from before.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself. I didn't buy any before. You really think there's that many now that
yes,
it can drive it up? The $200+ that.
Well, you have
did.
A captive audience of people who are desperate to get their data back because they don't do the backups we were just thinking about, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Family
I guess.
Photos, but small businesses.
It's not just the crypto stuff you're talking about. It's also the Ashley Madison hack as well.
Oh, that's, really?
Yeah, oh, a lot people of, paying off. Don't
yeah,
release my data.
Bitcoin.
Type
of thing. Yeah, I didn't think about the blackmail side of it. But
that's
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's truly valid. I wouldn't say it's exactly that's it, but yeah, it's.
Well, that's the theory I had, and I wanted to see what you guys thought of it. That's the only reason I'm going to leave that Bitcoin price right now. Is that I figure it's all the malware that's instructing people to go buy it is causing an artificial run on it.
I think a lot of it too is just like Bitcoin's going up. Quick, everybody buy Bitcoin. Suddenly it's a big thing again.
Sure.
There's a lot of interest in Bitcoin again.
I mean,
just can't wait
till
I get, can't see my inverted commas here, but hacked and you know, a couple of million Bitcoins go missing.
That's already happened a couple of times.
Yeah, didn't Mt. Gox
I was
like,
just
going to
say again.
That's why Mt. Gox disappeared.
Yeah, it'll happen again. Somebody else running one of these exchange houses will get, inverted commas, hacked, and a shit ton of coins will go missing.
Flash sarcasm. I mean, yeah.
Speaking of, that guy again was just in the news. They're actually actively trying. Yeah, they charged him with fraud or something like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, he's pwned, dude.
Yeah.
Well, they've been watching him like hawks ever since it happened. Because they knew, you know, they all suspected he grabbed them from Mt. Gox and just ran.
Oh, he got hacked.
Right. Well, and he obviously didn't run fast enough because I don't think he ever got out of that country.
No, he didn't. But, I mean, that's what everybody thought.
Yeah.
He believed in his own lie big enough to the point where he thought he could get away with it.
Yeah.
Those damn hackers.
Probably that damn hacker, 4chan.
Probably is.
Oh,
look for that 4chan guy.
There was some kid posting in the Linux subreddit that he had put Linux on his machine and his parents were all pissed at him. And somebody said he would call his parents for him as the hacker 4chan and tell them how pissed they were that his son was running Linux.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's like the hacker 4chan. Hang on.
Looking at you, Fox News.
What kind of ties in with today being the 5th of November and all those faggots wandering around in their anonymous masks.
Yeah.
Look at their protest thing.
I need to get the where's BSV's theme song? Should have had that handy. That would have been better for the hacker 4chan and then play that, right?
Yeah. And this is why we don't overproduce the show.
Well, there's a reason I quit doing sound effects on the show commonly a long time ago.
You know, it gives an expectation, an air of quality. We don't want to do that.
It'll be a wacky sound effects shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, these douchebags burn a police car and everything, man.
Oh, yeah. Like Guy Fawkes.
Where are they protesting?
Me.
London.
Oh, wait, no, the cops are still going to kick the shit out of me.
We can only
help. Yeah. Well, I mean, since they practice settling over there.
And the UK knows how to riot, so...
But, you know, the thing is, Anonymous was supposed to be this protest against corporatism, but doesn't Fox get, like, a percentage of every one of those Guy Fox masks?
God, I wish.
Something from that movie, because they own the movie that it's from?
Yeah, they own the rights to the movie. They own the rights to the movie material, so yeah.
Was it Fox or Sony? I forget who owns the rights.
Either one. But either way, guys, rail against capitalism. Keep buying those masks.
And make sure you're tweeting it out on your iPhone.
Yep. Down with capitalism.
So, this story up, I think Psychro sent this one to me. I was cleaning out the G15 inbox, and in case whoever was listening, we don't sell shit through G15. I am not going to be peddling the spice boxes you keep out. So,
but the spice
actually,
I
just like to say spice boxes are shit. I would never own one or buy one, and fuck off and stop advertising.
Yeah, other stuff I'm involved with might have money at some point mixed up in it, but not G15. G15's always just kind of a, we do it for fun.
We only plug Fry's Electronics.
Yeah,
until they pay
because
us
they
to
won't
stop.
Pay us to stop. Okay, let's see. So this story's from the Telegraph. Internet and social media companies will be banned from putting customer communications beyond their own reach under new laws to be unveiled Wednesday. Companies such as, and this is in the UK, companies such as Apple, Google, and others will no longer be able to offer encryption so advanced that even they cannot decipher it when asked to, the Daily Telegraph can't disclose. Measures in the Investigatory Powers Bill will place or in law a requirement on tech firms and service providers to be able to provide unencrypted communications to police or spy agencies if requested through a warrant. The move follows concerns that a growing number of encryption services are now completely inaccessible apart from the users themselves. Blah, blah, blah. They go on about how much the British government hates that and how some people think it shouldn't, you know, be allowed. And, you know, you're protecting the terrorists. Oh,
they,
and people
they threw out the internet boogeyman there of the pedophiles and the terrorists and criminals. Yeah. They're the only ones that are being using this. You have nothing to hide. We can look at all your shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where, of course, you know, we should be able to look at everything. Now, they're going after ISPs and service providers. So, if you use something like GPG, that's, you know, an open source project, it's not put out by a company, what does that do? I guess they just come after you and say you have to provide your password under law. I thought that was already a law in the UK that if you requested, you had to give law enforcement your password.
Yeah, it is.
Is it really? Oh, wait, that's terrible.
That's you know what it is? If they say you have to give us your password, you now know that they're watching you because you gave them your password, right?
Right.
So this is so they can spy on you without you knowing about it.
Great. I better take some more paranoia pills.
I got a as the Prime Minister, I'd just like to say, people, please, let's not have a situation where we give the terrorists, criminals, child abductors a safe space to communicate. It's not a safe space for them to communicate on fixed-line telephone or a mobile phone. We shouldn't allow the internet to be a safe space for them to communicate and do bad things. So, like, blatantly admitting, yeah, we're listening to all your phone conversations. We just want to make sure we can monitor you everywhere, because obviously you're a terrorist or a pedophile if you have anything to hide.
It's not even about having something to hide. It's just general privacy. It's like
their quote, not mine.
I know. I'm responding to them, not to you, Fox. That right. You know, it's not whether or not I want to hide anything. I just don't think they have the right to watch everyone like this. Like I'm sorry. Are you citizens or prisoners? Oh wait, you're prisoners. Fuck.
Consumer. The words consumer.
So we see here that you haven't been spending enough on your credit cards. Yeah, we're going to have to... okay, seriously. You think that... Am I way off base there with that?
No, you're not.
Seriously?
You're not helping to stimulate the economy. You're un-American. You're un-Australian.
I'm sorry. You're not carrying a large enough credit balance. That's treason. Agreed. And oh, God.
I see you don't have any loans. Is there a reason you're hiding something? Right? Why aren't you participating? Why aren't you consuming? We have to spend. It'll be like buy war bonds, you know, that sort of crap from the 50s and 60s. And why aren't you buying enough? Can't wait till I first get arrested for not having a mobile phone.
That'll be an interesting day.
Yeah.
Will be.
Of course I have a mobile phone, officer. Here's my ancient Nokia. Notice how it's 5 pounds. You get one of those old-timey radios, you know, where the phone is like this sling. You know, like an old army phone, you know, where you actually have a handset that goes to it.
Oh, I can see it going... Going down more like this, more to be like, give us your phone. I don't have a phone. Stop concealing your phone. Give us your phone. I don't have a phone, officer. Right, you're under arrest for not complying with the law. Then I'll be searched and everything. Like
I don't
that.
Have a phone. You might exactly. as well be asking me to hand you, I don't know. Fuck, I don't even know. hand me the keys to your Camaro. I don't own a Camaro. Why aren't you complying? I mean, it's like,
that's how I think it'll go.
Okay, here's what you do, are you? You go find a car from the late 70s or early 80s that has a car phone.
No, I had a burner's cell phone when I was down there.
Yeah, I've still got boxes. Still in the same place.
Yeah.
I like Cycrus's comment. He was saying that RU will have to share a cell with Richard Stallman. He'll be there right next to you.
Nice.
That, you know, I would love to see a conversation between RU and Richard Stallman.
I kind of would, too. See that would be interesting, right?
Well, I mean, because I don't think either, you know, your first thought is I want to see who's going to lose their shit first, but I don't think either one of them would.
No, I don't think so either. Like, I really like Richard Stallman. I've listened to a lot of his talks, and he's got a lot of good points, but it's just so hard.
I enjoy a lot of his philosophy. I don't agree with all of it. Because yeah. in Stallman's perfect world, nobody gets pew right code.
Right.
And I don't agree with that.
You get to write code, you just don't keep any of it.
Yeah, no, in his world, you have no right over anything you create on a computer. It's not yours. Once you've created it, it belongs to everyone.
Right.
And I don't like that because that means I have no choice. If I create something and I want to give it away, that's a sign of altruism. That's a sign of, you know, whatever you want to ascribe to that. If I don't want to give it away, that should be my right as well. And that's just a principle of choice. I don't disagree. I love open source software. I'm running Linux right now. I could not do my job without open source software.
Right.
And I perfectly believe in committing back to the community. I'm going to be doing those YouTube videos I've talked about a month now. I got to get some more things worked out on my own system and time, because good God, my job is driving me nuts right now. But yeah, I am going to be doing some work like that, and yeah, hell, you could even argue doing this show is giving back to the community. It's, you know, the point earlier, there's no money involved in this, but
true.
I like to have the choice. If I want something I write to be open, fantastic. If I want something I write not to be open, that's my right as well. You might argue that, well, nobody should use it if it's not open, and that's a fair argument. Again, I don't agree with it, but I'm not gonna say you don't have the right to say I'm not going to use it if it's source. But the main reason I don't agree with that is one of practicality.
Right, and I agree. I can't run my computer without
the binary blobs. So
yeah, but I like him. I like the core of his cause because I think it's something everyone should at least know who he is and kind of what he stands for, and at least know that that feeling is out there, because a lot of people, I think, you know, outside of the tech field, or they don't even understand, they don't even know what proprietary software is or what that means or what free software means.
And that's because it's a completely alien concept to somebody who's not familiar
right.
with it.
And I think
you look at it.
I would like it to become more mainstream. People actually understand that, someone wrote this goo. It's not just the computer made it one day, you know? Like, I don't know.
You're
going to
be asking
more
a lot of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but computers become
who aren't
such
involved.
Ingrained part of society that...
And they're not already?
Well, I'm saying that they are. They're such a part of our ingrained society that people should understand more about them and understand how they work and how these things work, I guess. I don't know. Then you could say the same thing about cars. Just everyone drives a car. Not everyone knows how one works. So I guess that. But I don't know. I guess it's a pipe dream of mine.
Well, you don't. Yeah, but you know, with cars, you don't have to know how they work. There's enough people out there that service them for you. Now, the thing with cars,
with computers,
though,
you don't know you don't have to know how they work. There's enough people out there that are IT people.
That's true. But here's the thing with cars, though. They've been around long enough that they're ubiquitous. You don't have cars that are... Like, the design of cars is fairly open. There's lots of... Well, there's not lots, but there are multiple... There's more than a few companies making them.
Right, that's true.
And if you want to, it's insanely difficult nowadays, but if you want to, you can spin up your own car company. It's difficult because the way laws are structured around dealerships, there's a you want to have some fun doing some research, go look up the laws around, you know, automotive dealerships in the United States. It is insane when it comes to buying and selling new vehicles. Like, dealers are actually not, or I should say, car manufacturers are not allowed by law in most states to sell directly. You have to go through a dealership.
Unless you're Tesla. Like, yeah.
By law. Like, holy crap. But, anyways. But I was going to make the point on cars, though, is that you don't have to understand every aspect of them. But if you don't at least understand the basics about them, you get taken advantage of a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to charge the next crew $600 for this headlight fluid.
Yeah, exactly. You get taken advantage of a lot if you don't understand it. But you don't have to understand it because you can just take it to people. But the more you know, the better chance you have of not being fucked with.
But in saying that's where I was going. You should change your headlight fluid every 30,000 miles.
Well, I just did mine.
Where do they dump it in Australia? I thought that was, like, you know, last one biohazard for you people.
And make sure you get stem lube done every year.
Yeah, but the hooker costs more for that. Let's see. Next story up. This is from the Inquirer. Microsoft has admitted that Windows 10 has more data than any of its predecessors, and there's not much you can do about it. In an interview with World, Microsoft Corporate Vice President Joe Belfour defended the collection of what the company refers to as basic telemetry, explaining that it's a necessary part of improving Windows functionality. Windows has always collected information like that. Every blue screen of death creates an error report, which is uploaded to Microsoft, but much more is collected now, and yes, this does mean that search terms you enter into Windows, as well as anonymous machine gibberish is going up to the cloud. If it was gibberish, it wouldn't be going anywhere. Microsoft has said that personal information is seldom. So, what's the scientific definition of seldom?
Well, exactly.
And when it is, there's an opt out, not an opt in, out. However, the film has added that info we've not provided options. We feel that things have to do with the health of the system and are not personal information or are not related to privacy. Now, and this is my big problem with Windows 10. They feel. Not you don't get a choice. They have decided these things. And therefore,
and it's up to you to figure out how to circumvent them.
Yeah, you don't even get a choice. No, this isn't, we've decided this is not considered personal information, and therefore we're going to take it. You have no control over this. You have no option. You have no way of going in there and saying, do I care? Because I'll be honest, I don't care to send most of my crash reports up to Microsoft. I really don't. Hell, it'd probably help them fix whatever the hell problem they're having with the software, right? Really just a crash report of, you know, you were using Word, you were typing up a report about an intrusion detection, and the damn thing went down when you happened to hit a semicolon. I mean, you know, okay, shit like that, fine. I don't mind to send those in. But, you know, if you're somebody who, say, lives on a lot of pirated software, you probably care. And there was the rumor that Windows 10 could shut out software if they didn't like it, but
it'll be very seldom though.
So apparently Windows 10 Enterprise will have the option to completely turn telemetry off, but Microsoft recommends you don't. And the thing is, you know, they say, oh, very little of the information we're collecting is personal, but if you have somebody who's working in, say, the financial industry, say especially customer facing on the financial industry, 90% of what they punch into that computer, it might not be their personal information, but it's somebody's personal information. So any chunk of that going up to Microsoft is a problem. It actually violates several laws. So you have a way to turn this shit off. And the only way you're going to be able to turn it off is get the Enterprise Edition, which usually means about $100 more for your license.
Well, like I said, if you got
the free upgrade, you know, here's something to think about. Get the free upgrade. There's probably not an upgrade license to go from personal to enterprise. You probably have to buy a fresh copy of Enterprise.
Right.
What were you going to say, Sard? I didn't mean to cut you.
I was just going to say, I'm trying to find it now. There's been, especially on the sysadmin subreddit, there's been lots of people posting things. There's this guy that posted a a really cool Google Doc that showed all of the group policy settings and registry keys and whatnot you need to turn off in order to quit sending that data to Microsoft.
Yeah, but I mean, it still has to be Enterprise Edition if that stuff to work. I'm betting personal edition won't even join the directory.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to push it out with domain policy, I was just doing it on single computers that had it installed.
Oh,
you
go to the local policy? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it totally worked there.
Interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing a link to that.
Yeah, I'm looking for
it. Especially try it out on my laptop and watch the traffic again, because I went through several of those tools. I even linked, you know, tried some of the tools I had linked on decking, and then pulled up Wireshark and just watched. Yeah, they didn't turn off.
Shocking.
What a surprise.
Seldom.
Seldom. All right, this next one's from ZDNet. Researchers have found a new type of Android malware found in thousands of apps posing as popular titles, including Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, and more. Making matters worse, it's almost impossible to remove, forcing users to replace their device entirely. Lookout Security, a mobile security firm, discovered the new so-called Trojanized adware, which puts a new twist on how cyber criminals are generating money. By taking legitimate apps from the Google Play Store, malicious actors, will then repackage the app with baked-in adware and will serve it via a third-party app store. In many cases, these apps are still fully functional and it doesn't alert the device owner. It works like this. The user installs the app from a third-party store. The app roots, gaining access to the entire phone system, and then an act alone that punches a hole in Android security, opening it for more ways for hackers to get in. Periodically from there, the app will serve ads, which generates money for the attacker. So now these are specifically referring to malware that's coming from third-party app stores. So if all you ever grab is stuff from the Google Play Store and then the occasional APK from, say, XDA developers or something like that, you're probably fine. This is mostly the third-party app stores that are they're spun up for pirated apps, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sard, I know you guys were on Android phones. You guys ever
write
the third-party app stuff?
Yep.
The pirated app stores?
Yep.
Yep.
The king of Jews not using pirated software.
Oh,
you know me so well, are you?
Jesus Christ, Sard.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, fuck yourself right there, man.
Yeah.
And shit.
You know, it's okay to lie online now.
Go fuck yourself.
I don't normally directly off my phone. I'll wait for Sard to pull it down out of the server and see if it breaks his phone first.
Mm-hmm. But what this malware does is it comes in with the app you install from the third party app store, roots the phone, and then sideloads in all the adware. The adware is not actually part of the app, so if you don't know what you're looking for, you don't, you know, how do you get it out of there? Because if you uninstall the app it came with, it's still there. Because at the point, it's like any other malware on Linux, and I've personally never had to clean up a Linux box with malware on it, but knowing what I do from fucking with other people's Linux boxes for science, is that the usual excuse?
Definitely science.
It's really difficult to mess when somebody's changed, you know, the aliases and everything in the bin folder. So I can only imagine if somebody wanted to hide something on an Android file system, you know, there's so many places you could hide something and never get rid of it. Especially if you have somebody who's not savvy in Linux. Because that's the only way you'd get it out, is you would have to, you'd have to get on the command line or do a psox, see what all is running, and try to ID it. And that would actually require knowing every process on an Android phone. Good luck.
Good luck.
So, yeah, I'm trying to remember what handle did he use. Fidaken? Yeah, he was not happy with me after I had some one of his Linux servers. He told me to set it up such that he couldn't, you know, he wanted to see if he could get into a system that I had locked down. So I didn't just lock it down. I locked it down good.
It wasn't really unusable. Yeah.
It wasn't usable. He didn't specify that. He didn't say it had to be useful. He wasn't very happy. We had to use the live CD to get his shit off of it because he couldn't get anything to work.
Wow.
It was great. So, yeah, if you're concerned about security on an Android phone, you probably should stay away from third-party app stores. Unless you know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, well, good luck. If you don't know what you're doing, it's a good way to learn. Just be ready to, flash the phone back to stock firmware. It's about the only way you're going to get it off there. Ooh, wait a minute. What if it throws itself into some of the memory of, the radio? Like, the firmware of the radios?
Yeah,
they're never flashing it back.
Gonna get it off. Yeah, yep. That's reformat time.
Good thing burner Android phones are getting cheaper. You can get them for about, $40 in the right store. Granted, they're pretty crappy Android phones, but if you want to rent this stuff, that'd be the way to do it right there. Device you don't care to snap in half and throw away?
Yep.
That's what RU needs to get a supply of. That way, give me your phone. Okay. This phone's never been taken out of the packaging. Well, I don't really use it. Burner phone still in the box.
Carry one in the box.
With
no battery.
No battery. No receipt.
No SIM card. That'd do it too.
You wanted my phone, officer. Here you go.
Yeah, give him your phone. Just get take your SIM card out each time.
I'm just worried they're going to steal a candy out of it.
I was going to say, you just shoot the handset off of an old landline phone. Give me your phone. Okay, here you go.
Well, they have those, dude. Have you seen their Bluetooth?
Yeah, I've seen those. I mean, like an actual one with like half of a cord hanging off of it.
Oh.
Like, so it looks like you just ripped it off like a phone or something, right?
Right. That would be funny, too.
Here you go, officer. So, like, what's that? That's called malicious compliance. He asked for my phone. I gave it to him.
I've gone malicious compliance
to getting an absolute fucking beating for being a smart ass to the cop.
Yeah, they'll beat him to death with the headset.
Your Honor, he was being stupid in a no stupid zone. So, all right, next story up. This is heyonline.org. Pretty much the full text of the TPP has been published. I'll have a link for that in Digital Dojo. But one particular interesting provision of it, the TPP e-commerce chapter has a provision banning requirements to transfer or provide access to software source code. This applies to mass market software. So it's Article 14.17. No party shall require the transfer of or access to source code of software owned by a person or another party as a condition of the import, distribution, sale, or use of such software, or the products containing such software in its territory. For the purposes of this article, software subject to paragraph 1 is limited to mass market software or products containing such software and does not include software used for critical infrastructure. Nothing in this article shall preclude the inclusion or implementation of terms of conditions related to the provision of source code in commercially negotiated contracts or a party from requiring the modification of source code of software necessary for software complying, blah, 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 blah. Basically, they're saying the GPL doesn't apply anymore. So what this would mean is that if the TPP passes in areas where the TPP is, part of the agreement, the GPL is basically void. Because the provisions of the GPL requiring that the software be relicensed under the GPL, if you make any modifications to it or publish changes, or even distribute the software requiring the distribution of source code, those parts of the GPL are void, which would basically allow a company to grab a current copy of Linux, change the logos, slap a new name on it, patent it, or at least copyright it, and then claim it's their own thing.
That's
so
terrible.
This is allowing software companies to basically claim GL software and just take it.
You made this?
Wow.
I made this. Give me $5.
Yeah, basically. And then turn around and sue you for copyright. It's like, no, I made this, and you're now infringing on my copyright, so you're no longer allowed to distribute it.
That's freaking terrible.
Now, would it actually, this honestly happen to the big name Linux players? No. It would get in the media and it would be a nightmare. And too many big companies rely on Red Hat and Ubuntu systems, or even SUSE for that matter. But small times open source projects? You better believe it. Like Metasploit?
So,
shit. Already owns that. But
what
like
is
all,
the
all
TPP?
The, all kinds of little small time. Oh, Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I thought we were going to have to beat him that he didn't know what the TPP was.
That's your toilet provider.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
I've got the full text of the thing for Dojo. That particular part caught my interest. Because it's like, yeah, we're just going to declare the GPL null and void. So, I mean, that's, you don't just put that in. They've got something in mind with that one.
Yeah.
Taking over the world.
It makes me wonder if it's like, you know, something left over from like the old SEO days where SCO tried to claim ownership of Linux through patents.
I never heard of that. Really?
What?
Uh-uh.
Either way, I can see the lawsuits from here. The mountain is high.
Yeah. Sard, how have you never heard of the SCO lawsuits against Linux?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
My client's defense, Your Honor, he lives under a rock.
I'd believe it. SCO was a company that back in the day used to work on Unix and actually ended up with several, at one point, patents on owning some of the patents on Unix. The way they got these things, because of the mess that Unix went through after it left Bell Labs, it was disputed whether or not they actually had some of these patents. And at the end of the case, that most of those patents they actually determined were owned by Novell. But SCO had been suing companies and threatening to sue others that used Linux, claiming that Linux infringed on their software patents. And this was an ongoing thing for years. It's interesting reading. You go back and look at the history of it, because
I'm looking it up on Wikipedia right now because I know I've never heard of this before.
Wow, not that much younger than me, dude. Come on.
I don't know.
Once again, Your Honor, in defense of my client, he does live under a rock.
Just because Phelan is a geologist does not mean. Well, okay, yes.
Somebody got it.
All right, this next one's from Ars Tet. A provider of end-to-end encrypted email said it paid a ransom of almost $6,000 to stop highly advanced denial-of-service attacks that knocked off its networks and the networks of some of its upstream providers. In a blog post published Thursday, officials of Switzerland-based Proton Mail grudgingly agreed to pay 15 bitcoins, which at the current valuation is $5,850, the attackers in exchange for them halting the assault. Even after paying the sum, however, the crippling attacks continued, though at the time the blog post was being written, they had subsided. The ransom payment is generating protests from critics who say it will only encourage more online attacks. Well, no shit, but you're about 10 years late. The Proton Mail official wrote, "We hoped that by paying, we could spare the other companies impacted by the attack against us. But the attacks continued nevertheless. Attacks against infrastructure continued throughout the evening, and in order to keep other customers online, RSP was forced to stop announcing our IP range, effectively taking us offline. The attack disrupted traffic across the ISP's entire network, and it got so serious that the criminals who extorted us previously even found it necessary to write us to deny responsibility for the second attack." It's like, nope, dude, this off. We stopped.
Like, well, fuck yeah, but goddamn, we ain't coming back for sloppy seconds.
Yeah, that's...
like, shit, no, we just, Your Honor, we only just tore up that butthole. We did not go for the dunk, I swear.
I mean, it was nice guy hackers. Yeah, dropping them a line. No, it's not us this time. You know, they didn't have to say anything.
So pretty much, where's the rest of the article? The campaign began shortly after midnight on Tuesday when Proton Mail received an extortion email from a group of criminals said to be responsible for a string of DDoS attacks across Switzerland over the past few weeks. The message was soon followed by a distributed denial-of-service attack that lasted for about 15 minutes. The attack resumed at 11 a.m. the same day and was already showing an unprecedented level of sophistication. What's an unprecedented level of sophistication in a DDoS attack?
We got no idea where it's coming
over
from.
Interfaces.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, there's some interesting ones that are using BP and some like NTP and a few things like that, that where you send one packet to some server on the internet that's got a vulnerable service, spoofing the header, so that service then responds with, like, you know, 100 or 1,000 packets to answer your request, but you spoof your header, so it's actually sending all this data to your target.
Right. And NTP amplification.
And there's a lot of different ones that do it. NTP did it. NTP is one of the most common ones these days, but
right.
DNS was doing it. There were some telnet services that did it. BGP did it for a while.
Oh, that's not good.
Well,
who the fuck is still running telnet? God damn it.
Lots of people. I mean, if you send one hello request and you get back a 2 meg banner, companies would have that much legal text in their banner.
It'd be a
problem.
That's
two spoofed packets, and you hope you get timing right, and there it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, by 2 p.m., the flood of traffic reached volumes of hundreds of 100 gigabytes per second and began targeting Photon Mail's data center and upstream providers, including routers in Zurich, Frankfurt, and other locations of the ISPNet node. This coordinated assault on key infrastructure eventually managed to bring down both the data center and the ISP, which impacted hundreds of other companies, not just Proton Mail. So, Proton Mail says they paid it because, you know, the attack on their system was damaging a whole bunch of other people, which is, you know, fair ball. You know, when you're a sysadmin, you're kind of aware of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, the original story I found was not nearly as well explained as the Ars Technica one, where it said, the headline of it was CryptoWare, your crypto email service held ransom by hackers, and it's like, you're doing it wrong. it didn't really clarify that it was a DDoS attack. So
that makes more sense now.
Yes, it does. Makes a lot more sense. Otherwise, it's like, what are you doing that you got? Anyways. So, yeah, it's sad, though, because, I mean, DDoSing is so easy these days that you have people who pull this shit. And it used to be they'd really only go after things like gambling sites, the sites that would spring up for video streams of less than legal activities. They'd go after porn sites, obviously. They basically went after sites where they thought that the site they were going after was not really going to involve law enforcement or the media. Because what they were doing was already, less than palatable, or less than moral. So they figured they'd just pay them off and make them go away. But now they're starting to go after things like Proton Mail, which is a legitimate service if, going for crypto email. But
you
want
to be pretty confident in your own abilities, not just to create the attack, but to get away with it. Because going after a legitimate company generally is going to get some acronym of the government involved. And
well,
they don't look
they
too kindly on this stuff.
They might be counting on the fact that most governments aren't very happy with things like crypto email because it, messes with their spying.
That could be it.
So, or it could be a government doing it in the first place, trying to shut down services. They don't like. Let me get my tinfoil hat back out of the seed bin there.
Jet fuel can't melt steel firewalls.
God damn it.
The government did it.
Oh, this is great.
Oh. You know, I'm sure we could get on YouTube and just get hundreds of soundboards of Alex Jones and do hours of content on G15 just playing the soundboards to each other.
Yeah. We could.
I'm
or I could just sit here
to,
and drink.
But we could.
We already established that fact that we're good for ideas. It's just follow through sucks.
Well, I liked the radio play idea. I think I'm gonna explore that one.
Yeah, I do too. Our follow through is generally black wanting.
Look, you know, being employed has that. So this next story is from The Verge. And the broad trend in the television industry is that viewers are moving away from linear ad-supported programming on demand, a la carte viewing that they can pay for directly. In response, the response at Time Warner has been to begin offering premium networks like HBO to customers without a cable subscription, allowing anyone with an internet connection to pay for access. On today's earnings call, the company said it also plans to try and increase the value of the traditional cable bundle by significantly lowering the number of ads it shows.
Now, see, back in the day, wasn't the entire point of paying for cable was that you wouldn't see ads? And they just started stacking them all on, and now that they're losing their shit, they're trying to, oh, we'll dial them back a little bit.
Well, they're trying to deal with people who are cutting. Like, my cable company was calling me every week trying to sell me a TV package because all I have is internet through them. So I finally, you know, got pissed at them, and I'm like, are you guys going to call me every week? And, of course, the girl said, what? I'm like, you guys have been calling me every week for a month. Are you going to continue to do this? She hung up on me, and I haven't got a call from him since. So.
Wow. Maybe I just got to be like that then.
Yeah, be an asshole on the phone. That generally makes him not want to call you back. I was trying to get myself branded as a racist and or white supremacist on some of these phone calls because I figured they'd be less likely to want to call me.
Not bad.
It's like, what? No, seriously. If it's, you got to think about the way employment laws are.
All channels would point to the Black Entertainment Network.
You know, well, think about it, right? If you're put on a list as a harassing alert, and it's by only, you know, if you're on this list for companies you don't want to hear from, they can't, if they care, you know, if they have to deal with their employees' well-being, you know, put phone numbers that they know are people who will harass their telemarketers on the call list. Because that's like all kinds of employment violations for making unsafe workplaces, you know.
I don't think that matters if they're from India.
If they document it, well, that's true. That's true. But if they have a document.
I'm terrible to those people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's what I do is I try to get on the list as a harassment caller. You know, you kind of feel bad some of the shit you say when you get off the phone. It's like, wow, did I really just say that? But you know what? The number of marketing calls I've gotten has gone significantly down since I got really good at, you know, drawing out my accent and pretending to be a racist.
The number of hands up his asshole every time he flies any place has gone up.
In time. That's true.
You notice I haven't been on a plane lately.
There's a good reason for that.
So, just before the show started, RU found this fantastic Gizmodo article, which I know we can't do the video. It's basically they found a grow op, but the power for the lights is hilarious.
Holy shit.
Post that for Psychrist to have a look at. Saad?
Yeah, because, I mean, the power cannot... is...
incredible.
You cannot get the effect. It looks like one of those, like you see Texas those pictures on cable fail. It looks like that, but you have to understand those are all 120, you know, power lines.
240 volts. They're 240 volts. Yeah. That is
need
just,
more LED.
Like, how high would you have to be to do that?
Well, apparently high enough to smoke everything you're growing there.
Exactly. These guys couldn't have been turning a profit. They had to be that high to think that that was a good idea.
Oh, they were stealing their power. It says later in the article. But, I mean, it's just kind of like, holy shit. They've just got this rack. Looks like they constructed it out of 2x4 with nothing but power boxes on it and strips hanging off that and just, I mean, a massive spider web of power line. Like,
yeah, but
holy
at
shit,
this point,
dude.
Looking at that, you know, you're not even mad anymore. You're like, I'm fucking impressed.
Like, how you did this not burn to the ground and make the entire neighborhood want to get Doritos? I mean,
yep.
I mean, this should have been something out of a freaking Cheech and Chong movie. The whole place going up and everyone getting high.
That's probably how they got caught, dude. And the power consumption.
It usually is.
It looks like a Bitcoin mining farm.
So let's go ahead and do this. I think Static's medication kicked in, or because we made fun of his microphone, he hasn't been talking. I'm not sure which. Fell asleep at the keyboard, forgot he was online. Having strange dreams because of us, the shit we're talking about in his head.
Oh my.
So, this link here on archive.is was actually posted in, I think, several places, but it's code from the Drupal.org webpage. And it was posted because the guy posting it thought he had found the password list off this website. He didn't. What he found was the code that they used to test the password strength in JavaScript for, you know, the little meter that says whether you have a good password or not. It's the code that does that.
Yeah.
But it's got a bunch
of... They don't even have Hunter 2 in there.
They've got a bunch of pre-rammed passwords in here that'll automatically fail because they're in the word lists. So it's actually, because of this, it's got a pretty good word list built right into it. It's not in great format for a word list because it's all, you know, it's a giant comma-separated string. But, you know, it wouldn't take that much work to translate what you have here into a usable word list to feed into something like John the Ripper.
Yeah, that's cool. Fox, there's no Hunter 2, but there is Hunter 1 in it.
Okay.
Close.
So, yeah, you know, if you wanted a good word list to start to build looking for crappy passwords, this would actually be a good source. You'd have to do some work on it. But the reason I bring this up is... Now, I haven't built a new password list in quite a long time because I used an SSH honeypot on a large public network for a couple of years and built a fantastic one, and I haven't needed a new one in a very long time. But that point aside, I was actually harvesting the password list from everybody who tried to SSH brute, so I'm sure it's made up of like 5 or 6 different internal private password lists.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. Groups. Right.
I gave you a copy of that, didn't I, Sword?
No.
No.
I want one.
I
want one.
Nope.
I think you gave it to me.
Oh, okay. Is that false? I know I gave it to somebody.
I'll take a copy though.
It's a couple of years old now, but I mean it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Keep building to it. It's a good starting. Cool.
Yeah, it is. I haven't had to do much with it, and it's always worked for me. So. Sard's like, what? Morpheus' private password list? Fuck yeah. I mean,
pretty much.
I thought I'd already sent it to you, truth be told.
No.
So, let's see. Next story up is in for decking is this fantastic article on Foxglove Security where he explains how to set up Tor as a part of a malware payload and how to stand up hidden services on your victims so that you can connect back in without it being obvious that a machine has an SSH shell on it. If you're a defender, this thing is terrifying. If you're an attacker, this thing is awesome. And because it's the full write-up, you know how it works, which is the stuff I like, because once you understand how it works, you know what you're looking for. Except it's Tor, so you know, the real trick is to just simply ban all IPs hosting Tor nodes, but or if you know, if you've got a application firewall to identify Tor traffic, to go ahead and just ban it, all of it. But it's a fantastic read if you understand Tor, you know, building some software on Linux. So I highly recommend spending some time with that article. And the final thing is, of course, the text of the P, which you can find all over the place. Apparently New Zealand accidentally posted it. Oops. Whoopsie. But it's the whole damn thing. So at least...
It was actually publicly made available today.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's not an accident.
That's not as much fun, though. You can see all the appendixes from the different companies countries who is asking for what. Like, you know,
yeah, it's a bit of light reading.
Down, Yeah, a little, huh? Like, this thing is such a mess, but...
I'm interested in the pharmaceuticals, medical device sections. Not so much the tech, you're probably more into that. Public debt, I'm interested in that one, too.
Well, the parts about the parts basically outlawing quote-unquote hacking tools, or in other words, you know, how I pay my bills, that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, you'll find you'll end up being licensed for what you do.
Yeah, not looking forward to that. It's like, oh, you know how to do this shit? Yeah, you're on the watch list. Like what, I wasn't already? Fuck. Actually, I'd be kind of insulted if I found out I wasn't already on the watch list.
Demand to be put on the no-fly list. I am in a danger.
Like, did you hear? Did you hear what I said to that telemarketer who was pretending to be from Microsoft? I mean, holy crap! I know you guys have the recordings.
This. Wow.
But.
It's a lot of reading, man.
Gonna be lawyers picking over that thing for eons,
and it's all in legalese.
And at least they actually managed to get it posted before they passed it. Unlike our government's been promising to do that 8 years now, I think. Promising to publish the contents of bills before they were voted on.
Yeah, good luck with that. Most transparent government.
Senators aren't even seeing the full contents of bills except for like an hour before they're up for a vote, and they're not any better in the way they're written, so shit. But,
Oh crap!
That's all I got for tonight. And show may be spotty over the next couple of months with the holidays and crazy as shit is at work. But,
that's right. You got Turkey Day.
Got Turkey Day coming up. Got of course holidays end of the year. So we'll see. But if I miss a week here or there, don't panic. It's just that time of year. But that's all I've got for tonight. Anybody got anything they want to throw out before I hit the Pac-Man sound?
Not really.
I'm good.